Welcome back in, everybody. Radio 720 WGN. Matt Bubala with you until 5, when we'll say good morning to Orion Samuelson. You know, we've been talking a ton about the pandemic over the last 6 months. We're all sick of it. We're all tired of it. We're all still living through it. There are some bright spots in things. And a lot of times with this, it's about seizing the opportunity, figuring out where the opportunities are, and sometimes taking a leap of faith. Exhibit A. Marcus Kirby had kind of what's described in Block Club Chicago's article about him as a side hustle, the succulent city. He turned it into something much bigger than that. He joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Marcus, how are you?
Hey, doing well. How are you doing?
Good. The succulent city was an online houseplant business, it's explained as. What is an online houseplant business?
Well, thank you for asking that. Basically, I started this whole thing back in 2015, and primarily I was selling online at that point. So the move back into this isn't unfamiliar with me. Over the years, I've gone through a few different iterations with the whole thing. So last year, I was primarily doing markets and festivals, and I was expecting to continue doing that. But around like February or so, I started seeing some articles and information about coronavirus coming from other countries. And kind of as a person who like is generally a little bit anxious about medical related things because I have asthma, I'm just like, okay, interesting. What's going to happen with this? So I started seeing trickles of the effects of this maybe in late March or so, where the events that I was going to be participating in started canceling. It was around that time, and it's kind of as a preemptive manner, I suppose, that I opted to begin selling things online. Like I said, I was mostly doing succulents and cacti at that point, but I've had houseplants and I've sold them. So I started attempting to sell houseplants, and the response was really positive and overwhelming, actually. And each month it's just consistently grown to where currently, I think this month, I wouldn't be surprised if I'm going to end up doing about 16,000 to 18,000 in sales, whereas 15 was kind of the max in July. It's like a very surreal thing. I expected at some point that it would sort of decline and that things would hit some sort of stabilized number, but they just keep growing to the point where I'm now considering hiring an employee. So as somebody who is working as a server and working, you know, not making really that much, to have now ended up getting my own business doing this and like ending up doing it full time. It's a huge change for me, and I really appreciate all the support everyone's given. It blows my mind that this is actually happening.
I'm sure. So explain to me again, 2 years ago when you were doing this, just sort of on the side, you're basically growing houseplants and then telling people, hey, you need a houseplant. You should buy this houseplant from me.
So to clarify, I was growing succulents and cacti. Like, I've always been growing those, and I hybridize stuff as well, so I actually make my own, like, taking the pollen and then, like, putting it on the other. The majority of these are purchased wholesale, so I'm essentially reselling these. But I also do have intentions of, like, I mean, I propagate things, too, so you can take a plant, and then you could take cuttings or make divisions from the roots, and you can propagate it that way. So they multiply, and that's one of the interesting things about plants, like, any plant in general, they kind of grow at an exponential rate. So from a business perspective, I can't think of another product or item that replicates itself exponentially. So, I mean, I love plants. I mean, I've been doing this for a while, like I said. So to me, it just seems like the perfect item to be selling. And it's a culmination of a lot of my ideologies and interests in life. And I'm happy to actively be doing something that I'm passionate about. But, I resell these and I grow them out too. So, I mean, I always have things growing as well. So I tend to keep a few to myself and let them grow out, and then I'll do divisions and cuttings and whatnot.
It's fascinating to me because if somebody would have said, here's my idea, we're going to sell houseplants, I would have said, what's the demand for houseplants? Are people really buying houseplants? But people are really buying houseplants and succulents and these things. Is that pandemic driven? Is it because people are home and they want to breathe and feel the oxygen or have somebody to talk to or something to talk to? Or was this just an untapped market that nobody really realized was there?
So that's an interesting question. I mean, the demand for it has always been there. I think Instagram has had a huge impact and influence on that in the last few years. And especially, you know, like I'm 34, so I think a lot of millennials and other people my age kind of being stuck in this weird state of around a time when they should be starting families, but not really having the money to do it. People want to nurture things and people want to grow things. I think that's just like some sort of like human aspiration. So instead of like having kids, we're like having plants and animals. But you know, specifically in April and in May, even, I think there was a lot of concern about what was going to happen with all this, because I remember seeing articles about Holland and issues with like throwing out millions of tulips because nobody was buying them. And even around Easter time, nobody was buying lilies. So these indicators that the industry had to base on were not looking good. But around May, everything just changed. I mean, the distributors that I go to, I've had conversations with them and they're like, you know, we've been in the business for 25 plus years and we've never seen anything like this. And I knew that people were going to be home more. I kind of expected that the lockdown would be more intense than it actually was. And, you know, I'm expecting we're going to go back into it again. So
yeah,
I thought my sales were going to go down, but they're probably going to go back up. But people are at home more. I mean, people have Zoom meetings. They need things in the background, but they also need things to look at. And, you know, there's just so much chaos going on right now. I mean, there's like social upheaval and there's a lot of concern about economics and politics and what's going on with the election that I think people are trying to create some sort of like curated safe space in their home. And not like a safe space, like a snowflake type thing, but just like you want to feel comfortable where you are. Like if everything externally is not going great, this is one place that you can create tranquility. I think that drives a lot of it, is just people just want something safe and comfortable. And it's also helpful that people really can't, well, I mean, it's not helpful, but people really can't go outside that much right now, or maybe shouldn't be. So I think they're also trying to bring the outside in, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does. Now, I'm going to sound like the idiot I am here and admit that I have no idea what a succulent is. What does that mean?
So succulents, how to describe this? So succulents are just like a general family of plants. They've kind of evolved over time to hold and retain water. So they're coming usually from more arid climates. There are some succulents that are in more tropical environments. Like I have one, for instance, called a rickrat cactus. That's epiphytic growth, meaning that it grows on trees, but it's considered a succulent because it holds a bunch of water in the leaves. So you just have these like plants that are like growing in typically arid climates, and like in order to survive, they've evolved to hold water in their leaves. A lot of houseplants and tropicals, on the other hand, are doing the exact opposite. They pull that from their environment. So in having conversations with people about care for these things with the houseplants, typically like, you know, Chicago, like people need to run the air conditioner, people need to run the heater. Those things have an impact on humidity levels. So I always have to suggest people get a humidifier or like mist with distilled water. And it's like Chicago tap water also isn't the best thing to be watering houseplants with sometimes. Probably not great for humans to be drinking either. So I don't know. It's interesting. There are a lot of things that we need to accommodate and change being in a metropolitan area in order to like bring these completely foreign plants safely into our homes.
Okay. So are you selling any ferns?
Not at the moment. So
does the fern have a bad reputation? If somebody asks you for a fern, you say, get out of my shop. I don't sell ferns.
No, I love ferns, and there are some ferns that are easier to care for. I mean, they require such a high level of humidity that it's really difficult and almost perhaps unsafe to maintain. Like humans really shouldn't have above a certain percentage of humidity in their homes, and they can't without getting sick. But like, I have allergies, and I'm actually allergic to ferns, and I feel really dumb for it because people request them all the time, and I have to tell them, I'm just like, hey, I'm actually allergic to them because they release spores. So when you keep them wet, they are releasing a ton of spores, and I couldn't figure it out initially. I was like having really severe allergies, and then I realized it was actually the ferns.
Interesting.
So, you know.
When Block Club wrote this story about you a week or so ago, they said, and there's a picture in the story at blockclubchicago.org, you had about 500 plants in your apartment at the time.
Oh, I think it's probably more than that at the moment. I think at that point, because I get multiple. Well, since the Block Club article, I'm getting multiple deliveries and pickups each week now. So, I mean, each time I'm bringing in close to 200 plants. So, I mean, I'm possibly going through anywhere from like 1,000 to like 1,500 plants a week. So it's constantly rotating and constantly evolving. I mean, I have shelves upon shelves of plants, and then these larger ones that I'm getting. I mean, you can't even walk through this place right now. It's obscene. Like, I have like multiple, like 4 foot by 5 foot plants, and I have like 20 to 30 of them. So just imagine them lined up wall to wall, and it's literally a line of tropical plants. It's kind of ridiculous.
So now you mentioned that you're not growing everything, you're buying and reselling. So are you scouring the internet all day? Like, how are you finding interesting things that you think people will pay more than what I'm buying for this?
So there are a few distributors in the city. Well, there's one distributor in the city, and then there are a few in some of the outer lying areas. I have to go out and get them. So, I mean, it's actually kind of a crazy competitive thing right now because there are so many people doing this. So not only do you have the shops in the city that are established, you have people who are just trying to survive, and they have an interest in plants, and they see people like myself and others on Instagram who are kind of turning a hobby into a profession of sorts, and so they're trying it out. So there's only so many plants coming in, and we're all competing for the same products. So I try to get there like immediately, and I've created good relationships with these distributors where it's like they know specific things that I'm after, and over time I've learned to figure out what it is that my customers are looking for. And also there's a bit of like things that I find interesting and I seek out specifically. So I really try to like corner the market of like big succulents and big cacti. And I mean, at a certain point I had like 25 to 30, like 4 foot tall cacti in here, which is just obscene because it's really difficult to find those in general. But I'm holding like a couple grand worth of large cacti in here. So yeah, I mean, I've been looking at plants for a while. I worked in a succulent nursery for a year or so. And I mean, I see thousands upon thousands of plants each week. So at a certain point, it's like, I know what catches my eye and what's unique. But I don't get anything too crazy because there are some pretty rare things. And I leave those to other places like Plant Shop Chicago and the plants here. I think they're better for those things, but I'm good in my little world that I've created.
Well, it's interesting. You mentioned there's a lot of competition. Like, I would have thought, no, there's no competition. You found something that nobody was thinking about. But if there's so much competition, like, what struck for you? Was it, did you do some sort of social media that other people don't do? How did you strike a nerve that you're getting articles written about you and you're taking off like this?
Absolutely. I'll say it's because I'm shameless. I have no shame in, like, limits about self-promotion. But like I said, I've been doing this for a while and I've been selling plants in Chicago. So, I mean, any of the events and markets that I was going to, I was also holding like private sales. So I would promote those on neighborhood groups in Chicago. So like in Logan Square and Wicker Park and Humboldt Park, Avondale, I would be on those Facebook groups advertising these things that I was doing. And I think that's actually how Block Club Chicago found out about me, was I posted a picture of myself with the cacti and the response was crazy. And so I think that's what the impetus and catalyst for that interview was. But yeah, I don't know. I think I've been selling things for a while and I think I have a good idea of what people want, and just figuring out how to directly interact with customers and integrating automation to a certain extent. I love logistics and automation and operations, and figuring out a way to combine those with plants has really helped me out, because I can see ahead of time what it is that customers are looking for. So I almost have like a rolling pre-order list, if you will. But I mean, most of it's just been social media driven. I was titling it like Houseplant Hustle on Facebook and just posting pictures of what I had, and people were coming and grabbing them. So it was like a very direct interaction and experience that they were having with me, but like from the safety and comfort of their own home. And like, even now people can schedule a pickup time and it's all at their own convenience. So I think that's one of the things that I've been doing that helps separate myself from everybody else.
That's what I was going to ask you about. I know if you go to thesucculentcity.com, you can see all the new arrivals and what's back in stock. And there's a million pictures with, I believe, Kirby's hand in them, holding up all these all these different plants. And then so people order them and then come pick them up?
Yeah, that's basically what the process is. And I mean, you know, in lieu of people coming and actually picking these things up and seeing them before they purchase, I opt to take anywhere from like 8 to 10 photos of each item. And, you know, that's super time consuming if I'm getting a couple hundred plants each week. But I mean, that's like, that's the solution that I came up with that would allow people to see exactly what they're getting. I find that to be one of the limitations, even from purchasing items myself online. When it comes to plants, it's like, I have absolutely no idea what I'm getting. But with the system I'm creating, like, you can see the exact thing that you're getting. I have anywhere from 5 to 10 of the exact plant. And so you have options to choose from. And also, when people come and get their item, I let them look at it. They can, like, pick it up and feel it, and they can say if they want that one. Seldom does anybody say, no, I don't like this. I mean, I hand pick everything myself from the wholesale distributors, and I have pretty strict standards about things. So, like, I'm not going to grab things that I don't think are great. And luckily, all the distributors that I work with have the same, like, mode and perspective. So we're all just trying to get the best plants out there that we can and do it at a decent price.
Okay, so if somebody like me who's never had a houseplant called you up and said, you know what, you're right. I imagine a lot of people listening are like, you know what, houseplant, that sounds like a good idea. A little more oxygen, things like that, I'll have something to talk to. But we have no idea what we're doing. So can you give advice and say, okay, starter, here's the type of thing you want to look at? Because I imagine it's not just what it looks like or what it provides for your environment, but also how well you can take care of these things.
Yes. And I mean, honestly, that's one of the issues that I try to press upon people, especially when they're starting out. Some of the best selling items I have are fiddleleaf figs and Alocasia regal shields, like both like very, very tropical plants. As a beginner plant, they're probably not the best thing. As a beginner plant, I would probably suggest something like a snake plant. Really easy, low light. You just water it maybe once every couple of weeks. Doesn't require that much, actually does better on neglect. A ZZ plant is kind of the same thing. It can handle bright light. It can handle low light. Those are very easy. Some species of succulents are the same way. There are other house plants like pothos do pretty well. People usually get those as like a vining or trailing or hanging. But you know, if you have medium light, I think your options open up quite a bit, but they're, for the most part, if you want like the easiest plant, I would say succulents. And that's personally like why I love them so much, is like I can't get to watering everything every day. So something that I can leave alone for like a week or two and it still looks nice and retains its shape and color, that's where I'm at. But I absolutely love tropicals, so I'm learning to like give up a few hours a day to keep them happy. So I hope people can handle one or two that way.
All right, Marcus, we've always heard the old adage about talking to your plants. Your plants like to be talked to. They grow better when they're talked to. Is there any truth to that? And if so, are you talking to 500 plants every day in your apartment?
No, I'm not talking to them. I also don't yell at them. But I mean, I think probably...
I will ignore you, but I will not get upset with you and yell at you. I'll make you that promise.
Yeah. No, I yell at the wind a lot because I'm on a very windy street, and when I'm trying to take photos, the wind just knocks the plants over, so I'm sure they're not thrilled with that. But I don't know. I mean, honestly, the best thing you can do is just, like, go on the internet, research what it is that you're interested in. And, I mean, it's just like any hobby. Like, you really want to understand what you're doing. Like, if you want to become good at something, you have to research and you have to learn. So, I mean, learning to provide the proper environment is the best thing that you can do. But also acknowledging your limitations. It's like, if you don't have that much light, you really shouldn't be getting a highlight thing. You're not going to be happy. The plant's not going to be happy. It's just like, so I always ask people, because I don't want to sell them something that's going to die. And especially when it's a first time plant owner, I really want them to feel excited about this. Like, I want them to get something that they can grow with. I think it's really encouraging and exciting to know that you are growing something. I think the patients involved in all of this is also really beneficial to people as well. There are just so many skills that come along with this that as a hobby, I think just generally help people out. I mean, I'm an anxious person, and like being able to think about something outside of myself for a little bit helps. So again, like I think going back to the whole, like creating a positive internal environment when like the outside isn't so great, I think it really comes back to that. But yeah, I mean, you know, definitely talk to them. Picking them up, not so much. Some of these things, they're used to being stuck in the ground, so they actually get a little stressed out when you pick them up. But there's nothing wrong with, like, touching the leaves or, like, saying positive things to them.
Okay, so you're about to hire somebody. and you're going to keep growing this thing. And then what's next? We franchise it. What town are we hitting next? What are we doing?
Oh, man, I have absolutely no idea what the next step is for all of this. Chicago has been pretty demanding, and we luckily have a large population. I think the next iteration of this whole thing is sorting out deliveries. That's one of the biggest things I'm trying to deal with right now is how to approach that situation, because there's a lot of people who don't have access to vehicles. I myself don't even have a vehicle. I have to, like, rent cars in order to do all this and rely on the distributors to come to me. So I really want to get to people who don't have access to a car. I don't like limiting my plants to, like, only people who have certain resources. That feels very classist, and that's not what I'm about at all. I try to price my plants accordingly and, like, be fair about it so that everybody can get things. And, you know, like, oftentimes I'll just, like, give plants to people for free just because, like, I appreciate them as a person and, like, their situations. It's pretty common for people to message me who will be like, I want this thing, but I don't have a ton of money. And, like, yeah, we work something out. I'm always open to trades, too, if people want to do that. Like, there's a lot of people who don't have jobs right now who have skill sets and, like, who have skill sets that they can trade. So I'm totally down to do that, too. But the next iteration is figuring out a delivery system. I'm going to have to get a warehouse, too, to hold all of these. It's kind of crazy to me. So,
yeah,
I think I'm going to be acting as something in between, like, a wholesale and a retail operation. Like, I'm bringing all these things into the city and finding a central location so that people can come. Almost like a Costco, I guess. Like, I'm not really a huge fan of places like that, but that's about the best model that I can come up with, is like pseudo wholesale.
Well, unfortunately, Marcus, I believe there's going to be a lot of commercial retail space available. And so it's a good time to be getting into that business. If that business is booming right now, good for you. And, you know, hopefully you'll start employing other people and keep growing this thing. And, you know, we all got to find our ways to take the positive out of everything that's been thrown at us. And you've certainly done a good job of that in building this thing up. And it's very exciting. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it. Like I said, that all this is going on and I've managed to make something positive out of it. It's been, like, very exciting. But it also, like, I have to, like, show appreciation to everybody that's buying from me, too. Like,
sure,
this isn't coming out of nowhere. Like, people are sacrificing and giving up their money, even if they don't have that much, to, like, help support me. And I really, really appreciate that. So hopefully I can give back to other people in some capacity in the future.
Well, it sounds like you are. TheSucculentCity.com is the website. You can peruse everything. You can order directly from Marcus there. Marcus Kirby, the owner, the guy that's making something out of houseplants, and very exciting. I'm very happy for you, Marcus. Thank you so much for jumping on the phone with us.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. I really, really appreciate it.